You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up, Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, we had a wild, wild weekend. Like, I was thinking about the show, right, organically, in my head, what to put together, what to pack in to these 2 hours. And then a third hour, of course, hosted by you, Corey. There's a lot of stuff here.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. I don't know what to talk about either. I mean, I know what to talk about. It's so much, though. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a lot going on, obviously, wild weekend. But I just let the music ride.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
There it goes. Matt Modica, man, how are you?
I'm doing good. It was a great weekend, a long weekend. Kind of a little under the weather. Took a lot of under-the-counter medication. trying to get myself straight for Vegas in a couple of days. Yeah, but like you said, just so much going on. So much to talk about.
So much to talk about, from certainly March Madness to there's a huge expert weekend here. Tout Wars, NFBC.
All that going down.
All that going down. We had a monster football trade, which we'll get to on YouTube in a little bit. It was a monster weekend. But I got to ask, because, you know, you guys are my friends. I got to ask you, Matt, you know, your first weekend going live. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good. And I came away, I did two main events, one with Andy Saxon, one with Chris Vaccaro. Two different teams, so I kind of like that. I like both teams. I had an auction by myself solo Saturday night. I really like it. I kind of went heavy in the outfield. I like the way that came to fruition at the end. And, you know, this is the time. Like, for baseball, this weekend that just passed, this upcoming weekend. And then after that, you know, you gear up for the season, then you start getting ready for football in a couple months too.
It just before you know it, it just keeps going when you live in this fantasy culture, part of this community, you know what I'm saying? Great weekend with the college basketball. Roy Williams, like I was telling the All-In Kid a while ago.
You've been saying it.
Roy
you've
Williams been saying is, it all I, year, he's passed his thing is over, Roy Williams, to be honest with you. That's just the way I feel. The recruiting base is so strong. And I understand you said that he won a championship last year.
Last
was in the final, year? Then it was in the final the year before. This guy's a bad in-game coach.
I've said that forever.
He is. He's a bad in-game
coach. But I can't put him out as a pasture when he won a championship last year.
No, you can't. But Roy needs to... See, I'm Roy's boss. I want to know what's going on. Do we need to bring in some new assistants? Or do you think... How do you...
You don't like Hubert Davis?
Evaluate yourself, Roy.
You don't like Hubert Davis?
As a Knicks fan, I like Hubert Davis.
You're not a Knicks fan.
I was a Knicks fan when Hubert Davis played for the Knicks.
Once upon a time.
Shout
out to the fantasy exec. He did a fantastic job.
Rave reviews.
Yeah, rave reviews just kept coming in.
What made Corey such a good auctioneer?
He just does it right. He's got the cadence down. He doesn't comment on players. Like, there's some other auctioneers I've dealt with. And nice guys do a good job, but they're like they'll be like, oh, only $14 for
this
guy? Yeah,
that's none of your business.
Shut your mouth. Shut your damn mouth.
It's none of your business. Interesting, yesterday, the highest in the one, the auction I did yesterday, the one with Ronis and Brian was in that joint. And then, Andy was in it.
There were some great prices in that one. I was kind of pissed. I wasn't.
Yeah, it really was.
Like
the highest paid, the highest guy yesterday was Altuve at 46.
Well, Altuve made $150 million this weekend, so 46 is like a good price.
Yeah, that's a steal. Considering the situation, so that's cool. That's what's up. I'm glad that everything is going well for everybody, and I'm glad that everybody had a nice time. You know, but every time you do the auctioneer gig, right, it's always at least one dude that you be like, I won't smack you in the face. You know what I'm saying? Like, just chill out. You feel what I'm saying, son?
There's always one a-hole in it.
Yeah, it's always one, and then, but I should have been able to point this guy out, because when you're a billionaire, you feel what I'm saying, you do things like that.
Okay, I know who you're talking
about.
There
you go.
I missed this whole thing?
It was a legit billionaire in the auction.
Yeah, no,
really?
There is a he plays the high stakes community.
Does he
I would be doing
does
it.
He wanna, like,
he's gotten better.
Yeah,
I will say that. Once upon a time when he first showed up, you know, I think he was, it was just money, but now he has committed. I mean, look, when you got the time, the money, the energy. Somebody's, you know, maybe he's got algorithms from people.
He's a private citizen, so I'll tell you who he is in the break.
Yeah, though. No, absolutely no problem. And again, if you'd like to donate to our fund,
yeah,
you know, more than willing, more than willing to take his money. So let's hit the break. Let's hit the break here. And when we come back, I want to get into, I know it's NFC, it's Hat Wars, I get that. But there's a lot of madness this weekend, man.
There was a lot of madness this weekend. Shout out to the Golden Retrievers.
It was something else.
Is that the powerhouse from Maryland?
That is the Maryland. That is the dominant state of Maryland basketball team.
What would you say the dominant basketball team for the North Carolina is?
The dominant North Carolina basketball team.
Did you say it's the Duke Blue Devils?
It's the Duke Blue Devils. Yeah, this year it's the Duke Blue, the Brotherhood of Duke.
Yeah. I'd say
well played, Mississauga.
Thank you. Yeah, it just dawned on me what the powerhouse is from North Carolina.
Yeah, it's the Brotherhood of Duke University.
It's the Brotherhood of Duke University. Yeah.
Shout out to the devil. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So let's hit that. Like I said, we'll hit the break. We'll come back. Let's get into March Madness. Let's get into the Golden Retrievers, the first team ever to upset a one seed. We praise on Tony Bennett. Probably take some of that back.
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of upsets. The top left region, John Calipari paid his way into that, baby. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's March Madness talk. It's live. It's FST on FNTSY.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with you, FST, on FNTSY. What am I listening to, Corey?
What the hell is this? Like Paula Abdul? This is Mrs. Scotty Love ever.
For a second, it was like they're playing basketball.
It sounds like that, Matt. You're right. This is when Scott used to go to the club where his Kango.
God.
Speaking of Scott,
yes, he was out and about this weekend.
Yeah, he was out there.
I saw a picture of his grip.
Yes, Matt. How'd you know exactly where I was going?
I thought it was quite interesting.
Scott Engel don't know. They was at the batting cage out there with the Staten Island Yankees, the touts. So is Scott Engel headed to the batting cage? It didn't look good. Swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. Swing and a miss.
Trouble with the curve.
I think it said he fouled one off. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it barely hit the bat, and then he just was like, it was his turn was over. So all that trash he talked about, let's go to the batting cage, let's go to the batting cage. Scott went to a batting cage and embarrassed himself.
Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, small field, some measure contests only. Fantasy Factor always has fun contests going on. This year, Fantasy Factor is running a $100,000 home run derby. Simply sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com.
That sounds like fun.
It sounds like
home run derby. And what's that other one? 17 run or something like that? Interesting ways to get involved with fantasy baseball without having to be in front of your computer every day.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me get into March Madness, because this is what I was watching. Judy called it the worst weekend of the year.
It's one of the best, to be honest with you, Judy.
It was. Yeah. It was amazing.
Sorry, Judy.
Yeah. She was like, this is one of the worst weekends. I don't understand. You literally just sat in front of a TV for four straight days. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of how it works.
Yeah.
That's what we live for.
Right. You know, you went to a bar on Thursday, went to a bar on Friday.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, I went to my buddies and just watched games. And Sunday, she's like, all right, I'm going out. I'm like, all right.
I'll see you later.
I'll be here.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't understand. I'm like,
you understand, Judy. This ain't your first rodeo.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not. I don't think, what did she think was going to be different?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No. I don't think she, like maybe because we ever lived together, she didn't really, like,
oh, okay,
she did her own thing. Yeah. So I was doing my thing. Now she saw me doing my thing.
And, yeah, guess she was like, what is going on
That's
here?
That's exactly what it was.
Judy, get used to it. I'm sorry. You got plenty of other weekends, Mr. Sussman. Is all about you.
Yeah, 100%. Next weekend is not one of them.
Judy must not be a listener.
So, this weekend, for me, and a lot of baseball drafts going on, and that's awesome. Next week will be my big draft weekend. But I was all about March Madness. And I was all about the tournament. And, you know, nothing really went right for me. But I think a lot of people could say that.
Yeah.
Nothing really went
right. Forget the brackets.
For them either. Forget the brackets. Forget your survivor pools. Everything's kind of a wash right now. And I do have some friends that are still in the survivor pools, which is awesome.
Yeah.
They've made it here, and they are in pretty good shape. But we really got to start. We really got to start with the biggest upset in college basketball history.
Yep.
And that is UMBC over Virginia, a 16-1, the first time it has ever happened in 33 years. Matt, you sat here twice last week saying, here's this bet. You could take a 16 seed to either be up or tied against the one seed at halftime. And I said, no, but the one game I would like is Penn versus Kansas, and that was very close. UMBC and Virginia were tied at halftime. That bet would have cashed. So would a bet to win for the 16 seed. UMBC, of course, takes down Virginia. They wound up losing a really fun game to Kansas State last night when none of their shots fell. It was miraculous. Of course, all the people on Twitter immediately coming after, that was not as big as Villanova beating Georgetown. And I'm like, it is.
It is big as
the 16 over a 1. It has never happened. Well,
as somebody that lived it, I don't think it was. It's groundbreaking and it's awesome. I don't want to take away from it, but what that Georgetown team had versus that Villanova, that was like the ultimate Cinderella.
But that Georgetown team was a college basketball powerhouse. You could look back at that team and say that's one of the best college basketball teams ever. But they didn't win it. So with that being said, this right here was a one seed, not just a one seed, Matt. One seed.
Look, I'm out the college basketball.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't claim to be, but you guys, everybody who does, you know, who's really into the college basketball
was pretty much questioning Virginia. Was questioning Virginia.
Everybody, all I know is before we did the brackets, everybody was like, yeah, Virginia's not even making it to the Final Four.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true.
We were saying they were like one of the top one seeds that wasn't going to do it.
Well, I mean, so
what like said, they're not going to score enough points.
But the only reason we said that, number one, was DeAndre Hunter got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, number two, they score 60 points,
yeah.
Of course. But you know what? They beat Duke, they beat North Carolina this year, they won the ACC
easily.
Tournament. Easily. They're the number one overall seed in this tournament. To fall to a team that got into this tournament, they lost. This is the team, the UMBC. They lost by 44 points to Albany this year. This is a team in UMBC that was the number, I believe, two seed in their conference tournament. And that conference tournament is so small, they play it wherever the number one seed is.
Yeah.
So they went up to Vermont, where they were 10-point dogs against Vermont, the Catamounts of Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And they went up there. And they came back from a 10-point deficit in the second half, and they win on a buzzer beater. And then they come in here
and punish Virginia.
Punch them. They worked harder. And after watching last night, it was the same script they played last night when they lost. The shots were falling 2 days ago, you know, 3 days ago against Virginia. They didn't fall last night. But they out-hustled them on defense. They out-hustled them on offense. And their shots fell. That's how you win.
And it kind of was just meant to be. That's a lot of it is that. There's no explanation for it. It was just meant to be. That was their night. That was their game. You know, we knew that Virginia had trouble scoring, so that if Virginia ever got into a fight and their shots wasn't dropping, you had a chance to knock them off. It just so happened that you didn't think it was going to be UMBC. You figured it could happen at some point. Listen, I have Virginia in the championship game. So with that being said, you just knew that they were a liability because of the way they play. They tried to take the air out the ball, but then they ran into a team that just Cinderella. That's all you can say. There's no real explanation for it. That's what happened to Virginia. That's what happened to Tony Bennett and his squad. They got to figure out a way if they're going to keep this thing going, you know, they got to figure out a way to get dominant scores on that team. Somebody that can get to the free throw line in the second half.
The problem is, and Corey, I thought you really outlined it perfectly, this team does not have that dominant score. And this team is so good defensively that they don't get down in the regular season double digits. It doesn't happen. They were down, I believe, the most points they were down in the regular season this year was 12.
Yeah.
12 points. So when they got down 12 points in this tournament and then 14 points, they don't know what to do.
When I saw it at 14, I was like, oh, they're not going to be able to catch them because they can't score.
They can't score. So they start chucking threes, which isn't their game.
No, not at all.
There's a lot of teams in this tournament that could chuck threes. Virginia's not one of them. And when they do that, you got them. If they start chucking threes, it's over. And that's exactly what happened as UMBC upset them. Tony Bennett handled it as well as you could be expected. Did his thing.
Yeah, no, he did. He came out. He spoke, you know, congratulated, you know what I'm saying? Also,
kids were distraught, obviously.
Yeah, because they go down in history. You feel what I'm saying? They're on the wrong side of history in this one. They're going to go down as the team that the first time that a one seed lost to a 16 seed, that's going to be on, like, their resumes. You feel what I'm saying? That's going to be on, like, their – people going to be – maybe that's not a – but it's almost like the Rutgers women college basketball team from years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The Don Imus girls.
Yeah.
That's always going to be with them.
No matter what.
This loss is always going to be with these guys. Always.
Always. It was crazy. You also saw the 538 Nate Silver said, well, technically, I believe Morehead State was the Norfolk State was a bigger upset. You know what? Now, I'm sorry. 16-1.
That Iowa team was good that year. No, that wasn't Norfolk. Yeah, that was
Louisville? No. Louisville was Morehead State.
Yeah.
Purdue? What happened to Purdue?
I don't know.
Whatever. But ultimately, a 16-1. The biggest, the not biggest, whatever, that was as big as it gets.
Big as it gets. So that really set the weekend off right there. That taking place on Friday night. So you knew that the tournament was going to get turned upside down after that. I think that game right there put everybody on notice on Saturday. So now all the top seeds on Saturday come out, and what are they? Now they're panicked because they just saw what happened, and now they're thinking in the back of their mind, we could be next. And when you're playing tight like that, a lot of teams were next.
A lot of teams were next. We have we had a break coming up. I want to pause the March Madness because I want to get into the NFL trade. We're going to get back to March Madness on the other side. We're going to go live on YouTube when we come back. We'll talk about the trade in the draft, and then we will hit up March Madness, go through the bracket a little bit, and break down baseball, wire to wire in hour number two. So stick around. More coming your way right after this is FST on FNTSY.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
What is up? Welcome inside Studio 34. This is the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson.
For now.
That. I got to learn to stop. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
That is Matt Modica. You just taught me. It's a brand I have to just keep hammering.
Yeah.
And now it's tough. I'm sorry.
No. I get it. We're figuring it out.
Yeah, we are. I'm Greg Sussman also for now.
I want to know what the hell Florio is playing this.
That was New Edition just now.
Was it?
Isn't Love. That was Any Heartbreak. Whatever it was a classic. The New Edition biopic that was on last year, it's a fantastic.
By the way, speaking of biopics, your boy Kevin downstairs, intern Kevin.
Calvin?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He was telling me about the Aaron Hernandez Oxygen special.
I missed it. I got to check that out. Yeah.
He said it was very, very interesting.
Aaron Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
Bad dude.
Not a great dude.
No.
Okay. Speaking of the NFL, the New York Jets had a blockbuster trade when you woke up on Saturday morning.
I was up already.
I was pissed off.
Yeah, if I'm you, I would be.
I was so excited. I'm sorry to jump in. I was just so excited for this draft.
Listen, I understand.
I'm nervous. It's going to get totally screwed up now.
Or they know what they're doing. The New York Jets acquired the third overall pick from the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for their sixth overall pick. They're two second-rounders here, one of which they got in the Sheldon Richardson trade here in 2018, and then their own second-rounder next year in 2019. All that to move up three spots. Corey, your initial reaction?
Not initial reaction. A strong move right here by the New York Jets. They could not get the Kirk Cousins thing done. Listen, so they said, you know what? Cousins didn't want to play for us. We had the money. We couldn't go get the quarterback we wanted in Kirk Cousins with the money. So now we bring in Bridgewater, maybe a stopgap, maybe a bridge quarterback. But now the New York Jets are making their play to go get their franchise quarterback. Very strong move by the New York Jets going up to the three spots. So I like what the Jets are doing here. They're taking advantage of the situation. Now here's the thing now, Jets. Don't be the Jets now. You make a smart move. Everybody goes, oh, smart for the Jets. But now, your talent evaluators got to hit on this quarterback. Or guess what, New York Jets? You're going to be the New York Jets 3 years from now, drafting out the one hole. So, if I'm the New York Jets, I am locked in on Baker Mayfield.
The key word is margin of error. And
yes.
That's what the Jets have. Look, if they get their guy and they hit, it's well worth it. I have no qualms about it. The Jet history, the Jet way, has been flawed and futile at best. As a Bills fan, this is the move I wanted to see my team make. We have the draft capital. We could have moved up. Look, just went from 6 to 3. It's a lot more enticing for a team like the Colts just to go back 3 spots and get all this.
Get the guy they wanted the whole time anyway.
I think the hope is
you got to get the Giants pick.
The Giants, or if you get Cleveland because they have the 4th pick, if they're not going to take a quarterback and get one, you know, if they're going to keep passing and maybe they say at 4 we can still get our guy. One of these two teams you got to see. You got to be making phone calls. I know we're here, and it's a lot of it's posturing too. You're not going to go out in public and say, oh, we're going to desperately move up. But the Bills GM's like, hey, you know, we're happy where we are. And then, you know, what are you going to say? You have to say that.
You can't be happy where you are. Yeah, no, when you see a team in your division jump ahead of you to go get their franchise quarterback, because your fan base is now thinking, well, what are y'all doing? We need a franchise quarterback too. The Giants are sitting right there too. They need to go get the Giants pick.
Jim Kelly came to Buffalo via the USFL. I think it was 1987.
Yeah.
And we're in 2018. That was the last franchise.
That's when Scott still had hair.
What do you guys say to the people? I know Jake's one of them. He'll join us coming up at the top of the hour.
Oh.
What do you say to the people that thought the Jets gave up way too much here?
I don't trip off of that. I leave that to the general manager types that think the armchair GMs, which I guess I kind of am. But I leave that to the armchair GMs. If you're a fan of the New York Jets, you don't care about that. You care about getting that third pick, getting a chance to draft a top quarterback. That's what you care about if you're in the New York Jets. Whatever you have to give away to get in that spot, this team is in dire straits. They needed a quarterback. They went and got him. I'm not worried about giving up a second this year and a second this year and a second this year. Whatever. That's for the birds. Let me go get the guy right now that I can get to hopefully be my franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 12 years.
That's the key, Frazier. If you hit and you make the right call at number 3, get your guy, and you have that franchise quarterback, you should be good for the next decade or so. I mean, look, you got to build pieces around, obviously. But that's, in today's NFL, look at the teams. Look at that draft. Look at the Roethlisberger, the Eli Mannings, the
Phil Rivers. These are longtime franchise quarterbacks.
These guys are still playing today. I mean, some of them maybe shouldn't. Eli. But Eli got the 2 Super Bowl rings. So, I don't know. As somebody that finally, after 17 years, we got to the playoffs, you know, I want that franchise quarterback.
What's interesting is that the Jets...
trade you Dak Prescott.
It's actually amazing how this is turning into a Bills conversation. But
it's like Scott with the Seahawks. How did this happen?
Right. So, when it comes to the Jets, they make their move. They trade a bunch of draft capital away to move up 3 spots. Jake's saying he wants to yell at us. Jake, just Skype in now, then. I got a lot to tell you.
Yeah, Skype in now, Jake. If you want to yell at somebody...
Yeah, Skyvin right now.
He yelled at his roommate.
Who's his roommate?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That's not the Lions fan.
Oh, the Lions fan's his homeboy.
So anyway, the Jets move up their 3 spots. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm with you guys, right? Like, you give whatever you got to do. If you're going to grab the franchise quarterback, it makes no difference what you give up, right?
I don't,
like,
yeah.
So I'm on that side of things, that side of the fence, right? If RG3 works out for the Redskins as it did in year one, nobody talks about how much they gave up.
No.
And that's a fact.
Well, you can't draft Akili Smith here. That's what you can't
do. That's the most important thing.
Now, I understand the logic of those saying, well, they're going to get the third best quarterback. And that's probably true. But they felt comfortable, obviously, that whoever that third quarterback is, and whatever they're hearing, because they know a lot more, let's be honest, than what we know. I'm quite sure they know what quarterback Cleveland wants at number one overall. I think that's probably out in league circles, who Cleveland's getting. I'll assume it's Sam Darnold. Maybe it's not. But at number two, it's very, very interesting for them. Not to turn it about my team, but the Giants, and I had said once the Browns signed Carlos Hyde, I said ultimately what was going to happen, they'll draft their quarterback, and now the Giants will draft Saquon Barkley at two. Now it's very clear, at two, you either draft the quarterback of the future or you trade down. Because that pick,
that's it.
To Buffalo, that is it. There are two options.
That pick has to be a quarterback. No, it does not have to be a quarterback.
Yes, it does. The pick at number two overall has to be a quarterback. I don't care if it's the Giants.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Somebody wants that. The Giants have the hammer right now.
Correct.
Because they got the pick where somebody can go get a quarterback.
Correct.
If the Giants don't want the quarterback themselves.
Correct.
Which they probably should chill.
Agreed.
You know, I don't know if the people that's running them know what they're doing.
I agree with you.
Denver's going to attempt to make.
Yes. I mean, that's the Giants' best case scenario is Denver.
Well, Buffalo.
Denver's a better scenario because Denver's at five overall.
Because
then they still get the player that they wanted at two anyway.
Yeah.
They get him at five. Because if you assume a quarterback goes 1, 2, 3, you assume Barkley goes at number four, not at Cleveland, who get Barkley and Arnold, which is amazing.
That's amazing.
And then at five, the Giants could draft their stupid Quentin Nelson. So, you know, I mean, that's the truth. Like that's the truth. Ultimately, the Giants, as you say, they have the hammer. They now control the draft.
Yep, the Giants control the draft right now. They are in the driver's seat right now with the New York Giants. Now, but see, here's the thing. You don't have, you know what I'm saying, the stability of Tom Coughlin. Don't get me wrong, we've seen Reese hit and miss, but you don't have, like, that stability in that franchise right now that you've had for so many years. Now you're relying on this dude Gettleman not to mess this up. I don't know if Gettleman's a not-mess-this-up guy.
I mean, here's the thing. Denver only moving down to five is the perfect scenario. But what the Bills can offer with this draft capital.
Bills got a lot of picks.
Especially getting that 65th pick overall from Cleveland. They have the 12th and the 21st. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think we got him. I'm not waiting until draft day. Somebody else is going to be more aggressive. I don't believe waiting.
Matt, you want to do him do it now, Matt.
Do it now.
Matt checking his phone.
Like,
not yet. All right, hurry up.
I'm just,
so like I said, the Giants hold the hammer right now at two. If they don't take a quarterback or they don't trade down into somebody taking a quarterback, they have effed this up.
But, like, what about now? Just let's do the hypothetical.
Yes,
Cleveland has the one and the four, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Say Cleveland traded with Buffalo. And
somehow this turns back to Buffalo.
Well, because the Bills are the player here. They got all
and Denver.
They have all these draft picks, but being that Cleveland has the fourth pick overall.
Yeah.
If they stay at four,
yep.
And say they trade one, and they get the 12th, the 21st, early second round, one of the second rounders, other draft picks and stuff like that, they're getting now three first round picks. You're getting the fourth overall pick.
Yeah,
I mean, that's interesting there too. I don't think Cleveland can afford to pass up on another quarterback.
I agree.
I mean, you can't look at Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz and say, we can do this again.
I agree. That's why I think they take a quarterback back at one. Listen, the quarterback the Bills want still there at four. You got a shot at training for that pick. I think we'll see.
I'm glad my team's not worried about quarterback.
Must be nice.
You're training Dak Prescott.
Got him in the fourth round.
We'll take a break here. I'm sure we'll talk more about the Jets when Jake joins us a little bit later on. Let's get back into Marsh Madness. There's a lot here. There's a lot to take in, including massive upsets over the weekend. Stick around. More of FST on FNTSY. Up next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Dominate DraftKings and FanDuel Major League Baseball contests this summer with Daily Roto's MLB Projections and Optimizer. Go to dailyroto.com/premium and save 10% off with the promo code FNTTSY to use all the same tools and projections that millionaire maker winner Drew Dinkmeyer uses. And the tools don't just work for football. This is the same site that Drew used for last year's top five $150,000 DraftKings Live Final Finish. So head on over to dailyroto.com/premium, save 10% off with the promo code FNTSY, and see the results for yourself. March Madness, as I said, Matt, has been out of control awesome. And, you know, where I'll go next is down toward the bottom to that Michigan game. Michigan against Houston. And it was a back-and-forth game. Michigan had the lead. All of a sudden, Houston takes the lead, and there's very, very little time left. And I saw it live with Maryland a few months ago. And I screamed at Maryland because they didn't cover the inbounder. The guy's inbounding the ball. There's no guy there. And I'm infuriated by this fact. And Michigan threw it down the court, had an open shot, and hit it. And I cursed at Mark Turgeon. I cursed at my school and moved on. Houston and Kelvin Sampson did the same damn thing on Saturday night. They didn't cover the inbounder. They gave a guy an open look, and he buried it. It was a monster buzzer beater. It was awesome. And the Michigan Wolverines, potentially now the favorite to come out of the West, Corey.
The inbound play. Mm-hmm. This is the simplest thing in basketball.
Yeah, how is that not
simplest thing in basketball?
It's the simplest thing in basketball. Mm-hmm. When you're in this situation, do not give the guy throwing the ball in an open look.
No.
And yet it's done all the time. And the shot almost always falls when this happens. You feel what I'm saying?
You know, it didn't fall in the game. I needed it to fall. Loyola Chicago versus Tennessee. Tennessee went up a point. Loyola of Chicago's best player drives the basket, puts up a terrible shot, which, you know, of course, hits off the rim, bounces a couple times, then goes in. And Tennessee gets the ball back. Same exact thing. Guy drives to the basket, pulls up, puts up a great shot as a buzzer, and that one didn't fall in.
No, that one missed out.
I'm just pissed I didn't have Michigan go into the Final Four. I was between Michigan and Xavier.
Sure.
And I was like, I wanted to be different in certain aspects. But, you know, Michigan, I hope they get there. That would be fun. And look, I think the road for them is kind of nice. It's even if you're just a casual fan that just watches this time of year, you really couldn't have asked for more this weekend.
This weekend was wonderful.
Excellent first weekend of the tournament.
Definitely great. You know what I'm saying? This is what.
That's why we keep watching.
It's why you keep watching. Now with this Wolverine team, they got some pieces, and they got a nice shot to get at it. Going to be interesting to see how they make it play out. So I think this Wolverine team was in a pretty good spot. I think we very well could see them in the Final Four.
Yeah, I think they're probably, like I said, the favorites coming out of the Western region.
Yeah.
Michigan Wolverines are a 3-seed. The Gonzaga Bulldogs, of course, are a 4-seed. Those two are the favorites. Michigan will face Texas A&M. And they see that has looked good.
Hey,
what odds you give Florida State to make it?
Florida State is good, too.
Florida State's not bad also. I don't trust Leonard Hamilton.
No, Leonard Hamilton is a tough dude, too. Leonard Hamilton, how long has he had this job for? 50 years?
It has to be. I don't remember a time in my life when Leonard Hamilton was not the coach of Florida
State. Exactly. I don't remember Leonard Hamilton not being the coach.
Who was the head coach of Florida State?
Before him?
I don't know.
That's interesting. I don't know. Yeah, but he's been there for 50 years.
Since they went into the ACC,
yeah.
Has there been a different head coach than Leonard Hamilton? I'm asking. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Since 2002.
Since 02.
He's been, 16 years.
Who was the coach before him?
Steve Robinson.
Don't remember him before Steve Robinson?
Pat Kennedy?
I remember Pat Kennedy. So the situation with State is, with FSU, that team is deep, and they have a lot of upperclassmen on that team. So they play very well. They play very, very well together. They go to their bench. They get good scoring. They may have an injury on that team, though. I don't have my computer in front of me. I'm not perfect. But, nah, that FSU team, that's a dangerous team, too. An FSU team, so I'd be wary of that FSU team because they got upperclassmen, they have a deep bench, and they have Leonard Hamilton, who apparently is doing something right.
Do you know how old Leonard Hamilton is?
He's been coaching that Kodak gig since 2002, right? So this is he is Leonard Hamilton is probably, what, 52?
So his birthday's in August.
Yeah.
So what do you think? So this year, you think he'll be 52? Or
he'll be 53 this year.
53 this year. In August, he'll turn 70.
Leonard Hamilton is 70?
Leonard Hamilton will turn 70 in August. Here's what...
Wait.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Well, this guy looks like he's 50.
The dude looked like he's 52 years old.
Exactly. So
yeah.
That's exactly what I thought with you.
Wow.
So I just went through his Wikipedia, right? So in the late 80s, he was a coach at Oklahoma State. Then for
that.
A decade, he was a coach of the Miami Hurricanes.
Yes.
I remember him from the Hurricanes.
Okay, so I didn't know that.
Miami was
he went from the Hurricanes to the coach of the Washington Wizards.
I remember that. They did have a little stint with
that
the Wizards.
Was brief, right?
I had no recollection of that. And from the Wizards, he went to Florida State, where he has been, you know, for the last 16 years.
Where he's tenured.
winningest coach in Florida State history.
More than Bobby Bowden? Probably.
Well, he could always
win
some
games
away.
And Leonard Hamilton will be 70 years old in August.
Leonard Hamilton at 70 years
Looking
old.
Good for 70.
Yeah, he does.
Really does.
It does, yeah.
So
must take.
Do we have any graphics of Leonard Hamilton and Scott?
Yo, let me tell you something. Leonard Hamilton, I was in the store this morning getting my breakfast sandwich. The lady behind me ordered a, she ordered a, what was it? She ordered a turkey with spinach on a multigrain bagel. And I'm like, what the hell is that? No, she ordered egg whites, turkey, and spinach on a multigrain bagel. That must be what Leonard Hamilton eat every morning, too. Because he's a pretty healthy dude. People are very healthy. You know what I'm saying? When they eat stuff like that.
Sure. I need to get on that train when I get back from Vegas.
I don't see you eating the turkey whites and spinach, man.
I don't see myself doing it either.
On a multigrain bagel.
So we've gone all this way without talking about a 22-point comeback last night in the second half, which is what happened when Nevada upset Cincinnati. Eric Musselman taking his shirt off. Very weird.
That was
very unnecessary and weird. But Nevada goes and beats Cincinnati, and they move on to the Sweet 16, where they'll face Loyola Chicago.
There you go, right there. That Nevada was a classic comeback right there.
Really was.
They came from behind in both their games over the weekend. It's just
down double digits against Shaka in Texas.
Yep, Shaka's in trouble. So the thing with the Wolfpack? That's the Wolfpack, right?
Yep.
The thing with the Wolfpack is. They're obviously when you come from behind this back to back, they're a very gritty team. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They play tough when it's like they play tough with their back against the wall. The thing about it is you can't win every game like this. So eventually that bubble's going to pop. They have to be able to come out and grab a lead.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That bubble could pop. Hey, listen, it's Loyola Chicago for all we know, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's Nevada, Eric Musselman, they are in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, shout out
to
him. His wife is a beautiful woman as well.
Good. I didn't see her.
Oh, I did.
That didn't get past me.
She also she's a former on-air personality, his wife.
Oh, for really?
With ESPN, Fox Sports, and the NFL Network.
Oh, okay. She's like Maria Moreno.
Oh, yeah, you probably know her. Danielle Sargent.
Let me see.
Okay, hold on, please. Let me go.
She does sound familiar now. That's his wife?
This is his wife.
Let me see. Pass
it along.
She's not bad. Good for him.
So he has a little daughter with her who is running around.
Yeah, she's very cute.
And then two older sons, which was really cool to see. It was awesome because for once you didn't see like the coach like embracing the players. It was like all his family. It was really, really cool to see that.
I'm about to get my computer and go to her Instagram. I'm going to DM Eric Musselman's wife. One of the happiest weekends of his life.
Probably the happiest weekend of his life.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I would think. So there you go.
Shout out to Eric Musselman, though. Good for him.
You like Eric Musselman now.
I never had a beef with him.
No, really?
Yeah.
Former coach of the Sacramento Kings, former coach of the Golden State Warriors, Eric Musselman.
Dub Nation.
Always thought he, you know, was a pretty good coach.
I wasn't a Warrior fan when he was the coach.
No,
just full disclosure. Just in case you were wondering.
So, Nevada has the big upset. And then, also remiss not to say, which we all saw coming, by the way, Syracuse going on a run in this tournament.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Florio was waiting for that one.
Unbelievable. And then they have Duke next.
Is Florio a Syracuse alum?
He's not. He's not.
They had.
He's
his route.
Yeah.
So they got the brotherhood of the Duke Blue Devils coming up.
Boeheim versus Coach K.
Here we go again. You know what I'm saying? So you get two giants in college basketball squaring off, and I'm telling you what, right now, I tell Kevin Hughes is going to win the game.
I don't know
how Boeheim has. I thought like a few years back he would have never survived.
Jim Boeheim got nine lives.
Yeah. He certainly does. I think Duke will have no problem getting past Syracuse. I really don't.
I know they
play a zone also. So
they feel like Cinderella.
I'll do this. No. Duke is different. I did not say this every round. Number one, I said it not against TCU. I said it against Michigan State. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But Michigan State wasn't good enough.
No, Michigan State was not good enough. Obviously, after the game, they asked Izzo, and he said he's not going nowhere. I wouldn't be so fast, Tom. This one may not be up to you, Tom.
You've been defiant, but yeah, something's got to happen.
Yeah, this one may not be up to you, buddy.
They need to clean house.
Speaking of buzzer beaters, you got to talk about Purdue. Purdue survives a tough game against Butler. I thought that was a really good game.
You know what? If Tom Izzo gets fired, you'll see Dick Vitale is going to be so hypocritical when he talks about how Michigan State did Tom Izzo wrong, but yet and still Dick Vitale is supposed to be such a big champion of kids. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
I just throw that out there.
Okay. All right. So there
Dick Vitale like his friends.
Dick Vitale likes his friends a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with Dick V.
I don't have a beef with Dickie V either, but sometimes I think he thinks he's a little bit. I love Dick Vitale, but sometimes he thinks he's bigger than what he is.
Okay.
Remember you got mad at LeBron James when LeBron James was in high school because LeBron James wouldn't shake his hand?
Yes, I do.
Stuff like that.
All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll kind of wrap up the tournament talk for now. We'll get into baseball, of course, in hour number two with the all-in kid when we come back. Stick around. More from Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Check out Fantrax.com. It's where you can create the ultimate dynasty keeper or redraft fantasy league using Fantrax's free commissioner product. Find out how it feels to the deepest player pool, multi-team trades, plus player salary and contract options at your fingertips, all of which are fully customizable. And with Fantrax Treasury, you can set league entry fees and safely distribute payouts without a third party, so you don't have to track down owners for payment. Enter promo code AL, that's AL for Al Melchior, at sign up for a chance to win 10 private consultations with Fantasy Baseball Hour host Al Melchior. It's $109 value, sold at Al's website, almelchior.com, which you can get when you use the promo code AL at Fantrax.com. Find out why Fantrax is the home of fantasy sports. Check out Fantrax.com today. Corey, I know you got a chance to talk to Al Melchior.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to Al Melchior, and I'm satisfied. He is, the people on Fantrax are all taking care of him, and his horse is he left his horse home. He actually didn't ride the horse to New York.
I actually saw the horse. He had a
photo?
No, actually a live feed of the horse.
Really?
Yeah. Like I forget the word I'm looking for.
But really, on his phone, we can go check in on his horse.
Horse time he had. But Al Melchior.
He had FaceTime with Mr. He had FaceTime with Mr. Ed.
Al's a solid dude. I had a fun
time. I love
time.
Al's a great dude. You were, of course, on the Fantasy Baseball Hour with Al on Friday. We had Al on the BFFs. We love Al.
We should have Al move to New York.
That'd be great. I don't think he wants to.
No, probably not. He's finally. I find hard to believe. but before we move Al up here, we got to get Jake up here.
That'd be cool too.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I think that'd be a good sitcom, like you and Jake as roommates.
That's not me. Well, then again,
it's me.
Oh, boy.
All right.
What do we got, Greggy?
Let's wrap up the March Madness talks. We get into baseball in hour two here. And right now, the Sweet 16 obviously is set. You're going to have Villanova, yes, taking on West Virginia in a game that I think a lot of people actually predicted would happen. That one kind of went as planned. And then in the bottom, you have Texas Tech taking on Purdue. So this one really went as planned, right? Like, you had the 1-5, 1-5-3-2. Yeah, that's pretty easy. You could have gotten that.
Got that.
All right.
Yeah, I have Texas Tech losing to Villanova.
All right, so do I. So do I. So that's still intact there. It's pretty good. All right. Then you have Kansas taking on Clemson.
That's going to be a goodie right there.
You like that one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Kansas and Clemson.
Clemson Tigers versus Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
I don't love Clemson. I think it's a good spot for Kansas. And then Duke and Syracuse, which we hit on earlier.
It's going to be a South Carolina team in the Final Four.
Just Clemson?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other choices this year?
Back-to-back years.
Hmm. All right. On the other side, we have... Was Clemson there? Was it Clemson against South Carolina last year? No. Clemson didn't get that far, did they?
No. South Carolina. Oh, they played.
Who did they play last year in the Elite Eight?
You just hit me that shit at the NCAA. The Final Four was in Madison Square Garden last year.
Yep. It
was the Elite Eight. All right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that was there. So you had the 2017 bracket here now. You had South Carolina take on Florida at the Garden. That's mm-hmm. what it was. South Carolina taking on Florida at the Garden. Yeah. Alrighty. Now, the other side of the bracket, you have Texas A&M and Michigan, a Texas A&M team that's looking good, and then Gonzaga versus Florida State.
Yeah, like the Zags in this one. I think FSU is going to give them a fit, though.
We have Nevada taking on Loyola Chicago.
Yep, Nevada it is.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah, you like them over Loyola Chicago.
I like them over Loyola Chicago. Tough.
I'm rooting for Loyola Chicago.
Sure. Taking on Kansas State. Kentucky running into the finals.
The Wildcats got it.
Everything fell Calipari.
Everything fell. You know what, John? I would send my child to go play for John Calipari.
You would?
I would.
That says a lot.
Yeah, I would. You know what? Even though he got a lot of things. Go ahead. I'll say you next.
Jake Joseph is next here on FSD.